May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 101. Does conscience lay a guilty charge, and Moses much condemned, and bring in bills exceeding large? Let Jesus answer them. Hymn 101.
Thank you. us to read the book of the Revelation, chapter 22. The Revelation, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant now that right approach to thee. Lord, in heart and not in word only. Draw us, we pray, our souls cleave to the dust, do quicken us according to thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst separate us unto thyself from everything else. We pray, Lord, have mercy upon us. Visit us with thy salvation, remember us with a favour. Bear us toward thy people, to speak to us the words of life, Lord, to quicken the dead, to convince of sin, to lead in prayer to Christ, Lord, to seal that blessing we've sung of in the hymn, pardon and peace and righteousness. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst, if we are not rightly convinced of sin, thou wouldst rightly convince us of it, that we might loathe it, Lord, that we might grieve for grieving thee. O Lord, leave us not to a mere natural conviction. Lord, sorry over the consequences of sin. The Lord, make us sorry for sin itself. Sorry for offending thee. Sorry because our sins separate us from thee. And O Lord, lead us to that place. Thou hast said thou wilt bring thy people where they shall be sorry, Lord Jesus, over thee, mourn for thee, and be in bitterness, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. O Lord, we do pray for true, real things. Lord, what deceitful hearts we've got. May we not trust them. Lord, we confess how prone we are to trust our own heart and how we show ourselves fools in this. As thy word declares, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Such are we. Lord, we pray, help us to trust in thee. Lord, do work that trust. Give that trust. Lord, we do pray that thou would speak to us, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we pray to be saved from all our destructions. We read, Lord, in that psalm, he sent his word and healed them. and delivered them from all their destructions. Lord, oh, what daily destructions there are. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But oh, may we hear that word. But in me is thine help. Lord, the work exceeds all nature's power. Lord, we pray in mercy that thou wilt throw down, pull down, pluck up all the building of the flesh, the wisdom which is foolishness, the strength which is utter weakness, the supposed righteousness which is completely wrong, and everything, Lord. Detect, destroy what's not thy own. And Lord, fulfill thy word, like as I've watched over thee to pull down and to pluck up, so will I watch over thee to build and to plant. Lord, oh, we pray for it. Deliver us, Lord, from our besetting sins. Lord, through all resolves, oh, how those sins go marching on. Lord, there's naught except a power divine can bind these wretched hearts of ours to thee. There's naught except a power divine can subdue sin. Oh, Lord, in mercy, be pleased to do it for the glory of thy great name. Lord, do lead us, blessed Spirit, in that way whereby a victory shall be granted, the way of faith. O Lord, that labour which is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant to us personally and collectively the spirit of grace and of supplications to mourn over the sins that have caused the Holy Spirit to be withheld, and to plead in Jesus' name and through his precious blood and righteousness for the return of the Spirit. O Lord, we beg, have mercy on us. For without thy Spirit, Lord, we're lost. Lord, all our preaching, all our hearing, all our reading of thy word, all our attempts to pray, everything, all our profession, without thy Spirit, Lord, there is nothing. Oh, we do plead then. Make us to feel it. Leave us not to a religion that can live without the Holy Ghost. Leave us not to preaching that can go on without the Holy Ghost. Leave us not to hearing that can go on without the Holy Ghost. Pray, Lord, have mercy. Thou seest their desolations. The boar out of the wood doth waste sign. That's broken down her hedges. Isn't that separation, Lord? Oh, come and return unto us. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Lord, help thy people. Lord, the help they need is to be shown thy Son, to be blessed with a living faith in him, to have the forgiveness of their sins made known to them, to have his grace bestowed upon them, to be united to him so that they may be fruitful. Lord, to be kept abiding in him, that they may endure unto the end. Lord, be with them in their trials. Lord, we pray for grace in our troubles to remember. Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? The troubles, Lord, we need delivering from. 'Tis thou, Lord, that hast brought the trouble upon us. Our sins are the cause of it. But, Lord, 'tis thou that hath brought it upon us. Lord, we beg then, oh, grant that right view in praying. Lord, to thou who hast seen fit to lay these things upon us. Lord, that thou wast in mercy, sanctify these things, that by these things we may live, and in all these things may be the life of our spirit. Lord, to be blessed as Hezekiah was, with that deliverance, he bringeth down to the grave, and bringeth up, Lord, the sentence of life for the sinner who has had the sentence of death in themselves. Lord, we plead then, oh, leave not our souls destitute. We seek the healing of the afflicted according to thy will. We pray thy blessing upon means, lawful means used. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst do good to thy people. Lord, there are such hard cases, but none are too hard for thee. Lord, are there not still those handmaids of thine that have those daughters, sons, other ones, grievously vexed with the devil? To give them that same faith that is give that woman of Canaan. Lord, help them. Lord, deliver them. Lord, grant them that desire, that faith according to thy holy will. Then say, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst sustain those the bereaved, comfort their hearts, grant in the absence of their loved ones thy felt presence. Where it is one of thine whom thou hast taken, favour them, Lord, with the witness of thy spirit, the assurance, for thou knowest how the adversary tempts. Lord, have mercy upon them, that they sorrow not as those without hope. And Lord, if there be such, and oh, how solemn the case, there is no hope. Oh, how unspeakably solemn, and yet even this, thou canst, oh, we can't comprehend it, Lord, but thou canst give that quietness. It is the Lord. Let him do as seemeth him good. And Lord, thou canst do this for those that have bitter things in their path. Things, Lord, they cannot bring themselves to say, it is well. They cannot bring themselves to say, 'tis all for the best. They cannot bring themselves to say, not my will but thine be done. But Lord, thou canst bring them to it. Oh, we pray thou will. For Lord, we prove the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Lord, 'tis that tree of life cast into the waters of Marah that make it sweet. 'Tis thyself, Lord Jesus, that tree of life of which we've read. The leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. We seek thy blessing on this people. We thank thee for thy mercies to them and to us since we last met together. Lord, thy long-suffering forbearance, thy kind provision, the abundance of thy providence. Lord, wherein there has been that beginning or that maintaining of that spiritual life, that upholding, Lord, go on to be gracious. Let thy work appear, we pray, even in this church and people, this year now begun. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for that blessed work, the work of the Lord. Lord, we pray, may it appear, the calling of the dead, the establishing of the living, the setting free of the captives, the answering of the cry of the needy, the appearing of the Lord in his glory, the hearing of the prayer of the destitute. Looking down from heaven to behold the groaning of the prisoner. Thy name might be glorified, thy people might be edified. And Lord, oh, should it be the lot of any of us to pass some time into eternity this year. Oh, we do pray for the preparation, indeed, whenever it shall be. Lord, that it may be the best day of our life. Lord, that we might be right in thy righteousness, Lord. Oh, we pray for the witness of it. That right, that just people we read of in thy word. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Some of us, Lord, long for the fulfillment of that. How often it appears the opposite. Why through darksome paths we go? We do not know any reason. Yet sometimes, Lord, thou dost show us 'tis our sins. Lord, we pray, shine, thou blessed Saviour of sinners, that brighter morning star we've read of. 'Tis midnight with my soul till thou bright morning star bids darkness flee. Lord, we plead for it. Bids the darkness, all our sin, Lord, all our unbelief, all our worldliness, all our idolatry, Lord, this is the cause of our darkness. And Lord, 'tis only thou canst chase it away. Lord, we pray to be favoured with that trust in the dark. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Leave us not, Lord, to be of those that walk in sparks of their own kindling, who shall have of thy hand at last. They shall lie down in sorrow. Lord, we pray, if we're deceived, do undeceive us. Lord, confirm thy people to the end, we pray. Forgive all we've asked wrongly. Make up where we fail in asking. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 740. Lord, when I hear thy children talk, and I believe 'tis often true, how with delight thy ways they walk, and gladly thy commandments do. In my own breast I look and read accounts so very different there, that had I not thy blood to bleed, deep sight would sink me to despair. In 740.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, reading verse 17. The Revelation chapter 22 verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Spouse in the Song of Solomon pleaded, Draw me, we will run after thee. Why is it in the plural, we will run after thee? That sinner that hath the Holy Spirit upon them, leading them, quickening them, we will run after thee. Poor sinner cannot run without the Spirit with him. When he is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will take of mine, says Christ, and shall show it unto you. 'Tis this Spirit, the Spirit, and the Bride say, Come. Oh, the dear Holy Spirit of truth, third person in the Trinity. I believe I mentioned in prayer our great need of the Holy Spirit. Without him, there is nothing. He is the communicator of the life that is in Christ Jesus. He is the maker known of Christ, and in the making known of Christ, the making known of the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit. To save our souls, says the hymn writer, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, each concerned. Oh, has the Lord made you to feel and know your need of the Holy Spirit? Has he made some of you to realize the difference when the Holy Spirit is withheld and when he is given? There's all the difference, isn't there? Oh, the Lord alone knows how tried one is concerning his ministry. Oh, to be an able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And oh, how we are utterly and completely dependent upon God for this. The anointing which teacheth of all things and is truth and is no lie. The Lord by John in his epistle, he says, The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye have no need that any man teach you. That signifies that where the Holy Spirit is given, he will never be fully, completely taken away. The new birth, it is irreversible. But oh, how the child of God needs the blessed return of the Spirit in the sweet and sacred operations. What is the evidence of thee abiding presence of the Spirit, whenever there are any of those fruits of the Spirit brought forth in a poor sinner. And you sung of one of them just now. Surely that poverty of spirit is the work of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. That attraction, that powerful attraction, that irresistible drawing. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Come. Oh, the wondrousness of this when it is known. You see, what direction does the Holy Spirit call the sinner? He calls them to God in Christ. No man cometh unto the Father, said the Lord Jesus, but by me. Why is that? The sinner needs the mediator, and there is only one. The child of God in God's sight is right in his Son. He ever has been. And it is the will of God that this should be made known. God cannot receive that sin on any other ground. There is no other way. And this is the thing that the Holy Spirit teaches his people. He shuts every other door. He casts out every other mediator. All the mediators we make in our imagination. We think we shall be able to get to God through our desires, through our prayers, through our confessions, through our works, through this and through that. But no, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That glorious righteousness which he wrought out. That glorious sacrifice when he gave himself a ransom for many. Oh, that delight of his Father in his dear Son. That will of his Father. This is the will of him that sent me. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The Father gives the Holy Spirit in the name of his Son, for his Son's sake. Oh, poor sinner, those of you here this evening that are convinced that you've grieved the Spirit. There's only one plea for the return of the Spirit, and that's the precious blood and the righteousness. It's the name of Jesus. How tenderly God speaks to his people who have grieved the Spirit. If ye being evil, so evil to grieve the Spirit, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he says he will give the Spirit in the name of his Son. All those of you who are convinced tonight, oh, if God deal with you according to your name, the Holy Spirit will never be given. But God says he will deal with sinners according to the name of his Son. And in his Son he will give the Spirit. That's for Jesus' sake. That's not because of anything you do, not because of any confessions you make, not because of any tears you shed, not because of the fervency of your prayer, though the Lord will make you cry, though he will make you pray, but it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And that's the freely in the text. Freely. Let him take of the water of life freely. Leave that ground of your hope, which is your prayers. It's a false ground. Leave every other ground. Ah, my dear friend, how we would love to come to God with a good experience, with a good heart. What are we trying to bring? Some money. We think we can purchase this salvation. But God says, freely. Must be so. You haven't got anything. You haven't got anything that God can receive. The only currency in the kingdom of heaven is grace. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, how this sets forth the love of the Spirit. The love of God, I know in the scriptural benediction, we particularly, the word speaks particularly of the love of the Father. But notice it says the love of God. So though we may, because the benediction speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Ghost, we may think that the love of God refers particularly to the Father. Each of the three persons. Oh, the love of the Holy Ghost to his people. The love of the Holy Ghost. And what a unity in the three persons. The unity of grace, the unity of purpose, the unity of the exaltation. The exaltation of the Son of God. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. Who is it lifts up the Son of Man in the way he spoke to Nicodemus? 'Tis the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Oh, to be one whom the Holy Ghost uses in this world. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And you see, this is what the Holy Ghost does when he says, come, come. You see, he calls not sinners to himself. He calls sinners to Christ. For the Holy Spirit, there is that an appointed work for him. But it's not the work of redemption. That work of redemption is the work of the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Holy Spirit, he took not our nature as the Son of God did. He had not blood to shed, he could not suffer. This blessed person who the Holy Spirit calls sinners to, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and man. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. This then is the one that the Holy Spirit calls sinners to, the root and the offspring of David, the eternal Son of God, David's greatest son. Verily God, verily man, without sin, in one glorious person. come. Come. Why, this one he calls the sinner to. The Saviour of sinners. Oh, he is the Son of God, the root and offspring of David. Why, therefore, the very life of the Church of God, these dead sinners that he calls to Christ for life, the root and the offspring of David, these guilty sinners, these ruined sinners, these lost sinners. Oh, what a thing to be a ruined, lost sinner. Easy to say it, isn't it? But what a thing to feel it. 'Tis to these he calls, come. Come. It speaks of a fleeing. Paul writes, doesn't he, of these. Upon those two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Why, God declareth of his Son, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is he, by whom I can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. This is he who hath wrought that righteousness, a perfect, glorious righteousness. This is he upon whom I laid the sins of my church. This is he who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. This is he who is all in all unto his church. This is he of whom it is said, it is written, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is he whose name is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, come. But what a mystery. What a mystery. This one unto whom the Spirit calls the poor sinner is that mysterious person. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And in what way do the Lord's people find Christ to be that glorious, mysterious person? Surely it is in this. They cannot know him, but by the Holy Spirit making him known. With all their studying, with all their listening to sermons, they cannot know him. How many knew him in the flesh? They only knew him as Jesus of Nazareth. They thought he was Joseph's son. They never came to him. Those in that crowd, concerning which the disciples said to the Lord when he said, somebody hath touched me, they said to him, the multitude throng thee, press upon thee, and sayest thou, touch me. Ah, no doubt many touched him that day. Touch Jesus of Nazareth. But that dear woman touched the Son of God. The same person, Jesus of Nazareth. By to a necessity that he is Jesus of Nazareth. Vital necessity was made of a woman, made under the law. But, blessedly God, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The Spirit saith, come. And so this coming, it is a mysterious coming. It is a coming which is entirely spiritual. There is nothing fleshly in this coming. Oh, my dear friends, how we try and come fleshly, we never get to Christ, do we? We find it labour in vain. Then how are we saved? If we've ever been saved, if we've ever known salvation, if we've ever come to Christ, how have we come? In this way in the text. The Spirit saying, come. The Spirit saying, come. That indescribable work. A sinner fleeing to Christ. He whom he cannot comprehend, but he who the Holy Spirit makes that poor sinner to believe upon. That's coming. To believe upon the Son of God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh, when your soul, child of God, goes out to Christ, when you're caused to venture wholly upon him, how do you come? You come just as you are. Because it was just as you were that the Holy Spirit said to you, come. He didn't say to you, make yourself better and then come. He said, come. Just as thou art with thy woe. And you see, surely, that which brings this sinner is some view there given by the Holy Spirit of the one unto whom they approach. It's that that looses the bonds. Till we see Christ by faith as revealed to us by the Spirit, not yet revealed as our Saviour, but revealed as the Saviour. Revealed as Him. He who came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He, oh, he who alone saveth, and he who alone is the salvation. The psalmist had this before him, didn't he, when he said, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Now you see, that's what this sinner sees by faith, and that is that that draws them to Christ. They've been trying to patch together a salvation. If I can get sufficient desires, if I can get sufficiently good confessions, if I can pray sufficiently good prayers, then the Lord will receive me. No. No. That's derogatory to the blessed, glorious, finished work of Christ. He looked and there was no man and wondered there was no intercessor. His own arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness, it sustained him. Come. Come. You come pleading mercy because that's what's proclaimed. When the Holy Spirit reveals Christ, he sets forth mercy, the mercy of God in him. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But what a different thing it is to come really begging mercy, really looking for mercy. What a different thing to having merely that prayer of the publican on our lips. praying, God, be merciful, but we've got something in our hand, behind our back, as it were. Now, if you come, if the Spirit say, come, you come empty-handed. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit proclaims the willingness of God, the willingness of the Father, the will of the Father, the will of the Father to save a poor sinner in the name of his Son, the will of the Father to save a poor sinner through the precious blood of his dear Son. The will of the Father that his people should be just by having imputed to them the righteousness of his Son. It is not the will of God that one of these little ones should perish. This is the will of God, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the Spirit points out the ability of Christ. Oh, my dear friend, what a different thing that is to knowing in theory about the ability of Christ. You see, the Lord brings his people to it like this. All the while they are merely talking about the ability of Christ. There was no coming to him. That's the point. That is really the point upon which the Lord may give that, does give that witness as to whether any of our hearing of Christ, any of our knowledge of the Word of God, is effectual by the Spirit. Is there a coming to Christ in it? Well, I tell you, when the Lord makes you to feel and know just what you need done, in some measure, just how bad a sinner you are, just how helpless you are, just how hopeless in yourself your case is, just what a perverse will you've got. What enmity in your heart against the Lord. What continued sin. What innumerable sins. And what a perverse nature. What unbelief, what hardness, what impenitence, what rebellion against God. Ah. Oh. Then you can't talk so glibly about the ability of Christ, can you? You feel to be beyond his ability. That's unbelief. Ah, yes. When you feel to be an unbeliever, when the Spirit comes and convinces you of sin because they believe not on me, ah, then you need the Spirit to convince you of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I ascend unto my Father. Oh, then when this Spirit saith, come, setting forth the ability, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. If the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sanctifieth the unclean, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? Oh, my dear friend, there's this great matter before us this evening, this coming unto Christ. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord bless his word to us this evening so that there shall be that coming, that those of you that have never come may come, and that those of you that have come or haven't come for a long time may come. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Not the righteous sinners. Jesus came to call. You see, if the Holy Spirit preaches to us truly the ability of Christ, you see, that preaching overcomes the unbelief. And if that unbelief is not overcome, there's never a coming. We go up to the house of God, we preach and we listen to sermons, and we read the Word of God, and we perhaps read the experience of godly men, but there's never any personal coming ourselves. We may realise we're in a dreadful condition, but oh, to be truly convinced by the Spirit in such a way as we cannot bear that dreadful condition. What a solemn thing it is if we can say, what a dreadful condition I'm in, but we can bear that condition. That's a solemn condition, you know. Well, if the Holy Spirit convince you of that, and then convince you of the ability of Christ to deliver you from that, there will be a coming. Lord, do grant me that grace that makes this case of mine unbearable without thy ministry. Lord, this hard heart of mine, the Spirit, does he not preach the ability of Christ to soften the hard heart? He does. Come, you'll not get your heart softened anywhere else. Oh, how long a poor sinner goes on saying, when I've got a soft heart, I'll come. That's all of the flesh. That's all of the flesh. You'll never get a soft heart. The soft heart is given upon coming. The sinner comes with a hard heart. And when Jesus ministers to them, that's when they get a soft heart. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the bride says it too. Who is this bride? The Word tells us. The previous chapter. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So I venture to speak of this as speaking of the voice of the Church of God. In particular, the redeemed Church of God in heaven. The Lamb's wife. Those, the hymn writer speaks of them. Raise thy downcast eyes and see. Numbers do his throne surround. These were sinners once like thee, but have full salvation found. Their voice then is come. But why is that? Because though that church in heaven are completely under the influence of God. They are really speaking as one. That glorious unity. Jesus spoke of it in John 17. He says that they may be one, as we are one. Oh, how blessed that is when the bride says the same thing as the Spirit. That's because the Spirit is speaking in the bride. But you see, we might speak of it like this. They have proved the blessedness of coming. They have proved the truth that him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, may we not speak of men like David. Oh, the Spirit drew him as a guilty sinner. Could he not say, why a murderer and adulterer like I am? All those many, many sins I committed, the Lord drew me and I received a full pardon. And it is the desire of the church, which is the desire, the will of God, that not one of these little ones should perish. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Do we not read, there is joy in heaven over one sinner repenting, more than over 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that heareth. Who is the one that heareth? The one unto whom this revelation is sent. Jesus sent his angel. He speaks, we believe, of John under the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord's servants in his word are sometimes spoken of as the angels of the churches, not because they're angelic in nature, no, but because they are the messengers of Christ to the churches. They are sent by God. They come in God's name. They speak of God. We preach not ourselves, said Paul, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Let him that heareth, this one that heareth, he that hath an ear, he's given an ear by God, not merely an outward ear, somebody who has no natural hearing may have this ear, it's the ear of the soul. Oh, the Lord gives his people a circumcised heart and a circumcised ear. Take heed, he says, what ye hear, and take heed how ye hear. Let him that heareth, let him that heareth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let him that heareth, let him that heareth, like the man in the parable, who went and dug deep, built his house on the rock. He heard of Christ, and he wasn't satisfied till he found him as his foundation. He built his house on the rock. Let him that heareth say, come. Say, come. Well, may we not speak of this as the echo in the heart of the hearer. Who do they say come to? Do they not plead come to the Lord Jesus? Oh, I think of that hymn that speaks, if unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found. But he has this line or couplet in it, doesn't it? Yet thou canst come to me. Now if you're coming in the way the Holy Spirit calls the people to Christ, one of the ways in which that coming will be evident is in this response in your soul. Let him that heareth say, come. That poor sinner that feels, I can't come, but begs of the Lord to come to them. That is coming. Lord, come. The centurion was blessed with this faith. He felt unworthy that the Lord should come to his house, but he knew he didn't need to come to his house in body. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. There's the coming. Come. Come and speak, Lord. Come in the power of thy word. Come with the power of thy irresistible love. Come with that sentence of forgiveness. Let him that heareth say, come. Oh, you say there are so many ways, because the Lord Jesus is such a glorious person, because he is the fullness, because he is everything to his church, by the will of God and by the ministry of the Spirit. There are so many ways in which we might speak scripturally of this come, setting forth Christ. However, wherever he is set forth in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit shows him, his word to the poor sinner to whom he shows Christ is come. That is, the church aren't satisfied to look on and admire from a distance that person that is set forth, and admire that work of his that is set forth. But think of it in the spouse, in the Song of Solomon, the spouse. Come, come to me, Lord, like thou didst to the spouse. That is, come when she was asleep on her bed, and thou didst put in thy hand by the hole of the door. And thou didst get her up off her bed. Thou didst withdraw thyself, but thou didst draw her after thee. And Lord, thou didst bring her to the place where she did find thee. Let him that heareth say, come. Ah, for this sets forth the infinite stoop of the Son of God. He made his grave with the wicked. And will not he come down to his people's grave in their soul's experience? Is not this one the life, the resurrection and the life? Come, Lord, as that is come to the grave of Lazarus. Come, Lord, and say to my soul, Lazarus, come forth. Let him that heareth say, come. You see, it's the person of Christ. Oh, when a sinner hears by the Spirit of Christ, they want him. They want him. Why? Because of who he is. Because of the excellency of his person. This poor sinner thirsts for Christ. Why? Because they have put within them that new nature, and it can only be satisfied by Christ. It can only rest in Christ. And let him that is athirst come. This one thirsts for Christ. Until the Holy Spirit speaks of him, they have a thirst. They don't know where and how it will be quenched. Their case just seems too unquenchable. Their sins seem too great. Their case seems too bad. They acknowledge that God has a people, but they've got this misconception that these people of God are good in themselves. They think, I'm not like unto this people. They have faith, but I have none. They have a broken heart, but mine is hard. They have love, but I have nothing but enmity. They experience that which is sung of in that hymn just now. They hear the Lord's people talk, but in their own heart they see accounts so very different there. And you see, it is only by the kind and gracious and sovereign ministry of the Spirit. Let him that is athirst come. This one thirsts for God. God has made them to realize they are separated from him by their sins. And they see the awfulness of being separated. And amidst all the evil of their nature, which is so separated from God, there's something put there by God that wants him. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Why? Because God is the source of all good. There's no good out of God. But oh, where is that good? Where does that good shine? The goodness of God that leads a sinner to repentance is in that good gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is centered in Christ, the unspeakable gift, Christ. Him that is athirst. This one thirsts for God with regard to holiness. One way in which you may be shown by God whether your soul's convictions are of the Holy Spirit or whether they are merely those natural convictions which an unbeliever may have is this. Are you only troubled about the consequences of sin? Or are you troubled about the sin itself? Is there a thirst for holiness? A desire to be holy? Finding yourself so unholy? Him that is athirst, let him come. Why? Because this person, Christ, he has holiness enough to sanctify us all. Oh, let him that is athirst, you'll never find anywhere else this holiness. But in Christ, but all that holiness that is in him, he is the holiness of his people. The word in Isaiah says, the Holy One of Israel. That is the one in whom the Israel of God are holy. Oh, the wondrous grace of God, the wondrous provision of God in the person of Christ, that the holiness of his dear Son is accounted the holiness of his people. Let him that is athirst. And this one thirsts for pardon. Thirsts for pardon. Well, where shall you find pardon? Head of Christ, you cannot find it. Not all the blood of beasts could give it. In Christ, that pardon. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Let him that is athirst come. Come and ask for this pardon. Come looking to Christ only for this pardon. Oh, that we might be so wrought upon by the Holy Spirit that we might come believing as the leper believed, if thou wilt, thou canst. To really come to Christ believing he can pardon. Oh, how often we're in that condition and yes, we feel what sinners we are, but we haven't that faith. There seems to be that, there is that barrier. Though we hold this profession, we come up and listen to the gospel, there's that barrier, isn't there? And so there isn't really a coming to Christ believing, expecting that he will pardon us. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Let him that is athirst come. And oh, how this one thirsts for the subduing of the power of sin. There's another proof as to whether your soul is renewed under the influence of the Spirit or not. Oh, longing to be different. Well, you will not, with all your endeavours, be different any other way. You have everything about you. You want to be the opposite to what it is. Are you there tonight? You say, everything about me is the opposite of how I would have it to be. I'm rebellious when I will be submissive. I am carnal when I will be spiritually minded. I am an idolater when I would worship only God. I would pray when I am feelingly so prayerless. I would weep over my sins, but my heart is so hard. My eyes refuse to lend a tear. Let in that is athirst. What does it set forth? An inward painful realization for that from without me to satisfy a felt need within me. Let in that is athirst come. Let in that is athirst come. Oh, how wonderful these moments are when the Spirit says come. And the poor sinner, by the power of the Spirit, flees. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Well, I must try and come to a close. There's only just a few things I've been able to say. And this last word, and whosoever will. And whosoever will. The will of man by nature is bound. The bondage of the will. When the Lord says here then, in his word, whosoever will, he doesn't set forth that it is dependent upon the will of man. No. No. What he sets forth is the power of that Spirit's voice. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Whosoever will. The Lord never grants this water of life to a sinner who is unwilling to receive it. That is accomplished by him overcoming the unwillingness to receive it. And if you're not thirsty, you're unwilling to receive it. How would you be willing to receive it if you weren't thirsty? If you have quenched your thirst and somebody asks you if you want a drink, you say, no, I'm not thirsty. The Lord then makes this one willing first, by making them thirsty. Secondly, he makes them willing. Or by showing them the blessed suitability of the water of life. The suitability of Christ. Oh, he works in their heart that. Doesn't the hymn writer put it something like this? Make me willing to receive what thy love designs to give. Willing to be saved by grace. Whosoever will. What a great thing to be made willing to be saved by grace. Is the work of God. Oh, what a work that is that overcomes our unwillingness to be saved by grace. Oh, we're willing to be saved by works. Why? Something for ourselves to delight in. But you know, to be saved by grace is the most humbling thing a person can know. To be saved by grace. To have nothing whatever of your own to glory in. To be completely dependent upon the grace of God. To have nothing but what he gives. To have nothing of yourself and everything to be altogether of him. that's the one. And whosoever, but that word whosoever, whosoever. Oh, how tender, how gracious the Holy Spirit in these whosoevers. Why? It brings in each one of the Lord's people, however bad a sinner, however long they've committed those sins, however much they've backslidden, however grievously. Why, here's the whosoever. I mentioned David, Solomon, Jonah, Jacob, the Apostle Paul. He obtained mercy. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Whosoever, that dying thief, whosoever, whosoever will. Not whosoever worketh, not whosoever is worthy, whosoever will. Whosoever hath this desire wrought in their soul under the ministry of the Spirit. Lord, oh, do save me. There's the whosoever. If there is really the desire of your soul, Lord, save me or I perish. Lord, wash me in that precious blood. Lord, do grant me this full and this complete pardon through the precious sacrifice of thy dear Son. Whosoever will. Oh, you see then first a sight of what will be your eternal lot if you do not receive this water. And then a sight of the blessedness it will grant you if you receive this water. Ah, those two sights will make you willing. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Does this indicate that the last step in this blessed experience is dependent upon the sinner taking it? No. No. The whole Word of God speaks contrary to that interpretation. Where do you find in the Old Testament or the New that the deliverance, the salvation, the blessing of any one of the Lord's people depended upon them taking in their own strength, as it were, it depended upon them putting out their hand and reaching this? No. The leper's case, if thou wilt, thou canst. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. I believe if the Lord is working in your heart, one of the things which you will be caused to fear is this: taking what is not yours. Taking what is not yours. What does this word mean then? It speaks of the blessed pressing upon a sinner's heart and conscience, pouring upon them of this water of life. Let him take the water of life freely. Oh, how blessed that is, when the Lord speaks in such a way that the sinner can take it. They can take it. Perhaps some of you have known it, and the Lord has very graciously ministered to you concerning this taking. It might have been a word that was spoken, and your soul responded by saying, is this really thy word to me, Lord? And he repeated it perhaps. to answer the question, to cause you to take that water of life freely. My people, his people, should be willing in the day of his power. For then this water of life, clear as crystal. Oh, blessed thirst-quenching water. Oh, the glorious person of Christ, his finished work, his glorious righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his precious blood, his love. That's all set forth in this expression, the water of life, applied by the Holy Spirit, clear as crystal, free grace, nothing of man. All of Christ. All of that glorious finished work of Emmanuel. Freely. Freely. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Oh, what a blessed liberty there is here. Freely. He requires nothing of his people. He requires nothing of his people. What the Lord receives from his people, and he does receive it from his people, is what he gives them. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Let him take of the water of life freely. Now this is one word that the Holy Ghost uses in bringing the sinner to come. Because if he powerfully speak this word freely to you, that will embolden you to come with nothing. That will cause you to leave your boasting self behind. Since he says freely, he will convey it to your soul, then even such a bankrupt sinner as I may come. That's that word in the psalm. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. The water of life. What a complete description. The water of life. It is life from the dead. Who are these sinners? In themselves dead. What is this coming? It's trusting. We have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver. In whom we trust, he will yet deliver. Life from the dead. Let him come. And you see, that means that this poor sinner, when he receives this water of life, he lives. And because it's the water of life, all life is in that water. All life is in that water. It's nowhere else. There's no life anywhere else but in that water. Oh, if the Son of God be your Saviour, as he make this known to you, through you coming unto him and him making it known to you that he is yours by giving you this water of life. If he is yours, he is your life. If he is yours, that which speaks the sentence of death, the broken law, he fulfilled it for you. If he is yours and he give you this water of life, that love which is his overcomes that enmity which is yours, that repentance which is his to give, yea, that every grace which he hath, a fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. They live while they behold him die. and let him take the water of life freely. What a liberty. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. The liberty of life. The words I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. And he that drinketh of this water, and everyone that's athirst, you know the Lord never makes a sinner thirsty to leave him thirsty. Every one of these that drinks this water, they'll live forever. Death will be to them but a porter, to bring them into that place where they'll be at the fountainhead. If such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee. Amen.
Thank you.
you, Lord. We thank thee for thy word. We pray it may remain with us. Do bless it to thy people in meditation. Favour them with those sweet and precious joints and that drinking. Forgive all that's been wrong. Preserve us safe as we journey. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.